according to this mitzvah, it is through the salvific, miraculous story of the Jewish people that we are to discover God. The tale of biblical Israel and of biblical Israel's descendants is itself a miracle, itself a source of faith, perhaps the source of faith. Welcome to 10-Minute Mitzvah, Episode 2, Javier Milei and the Foreign Ministry of Faith. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman. This episode of 10-Minute Mitzvah is generously sponsored by Neil Rosenberg.
On November 5th, 2024, a very interesting event involving a president occurred, one from which we can learn a great deal as we begin our journey through the mitzvot. I am not referring to the American election, as impactful as that event was. Rather, I am referring to another event in a different hemisphere, one which, because of the election in America, might have been missed by many. It was an event involving President Javier Milei of Argentina, who on November 5th swore in a new foreign minister into his cabinet, Gerardo Wertheim. Wertheim is Jewish, and therefore the ritual of the administering of the oath was a bit different than usual. Thus, one news article tells us as follows, quote, "Unusually for the predominantly Catholic country, the inauguration featured a Torah, on which Wertheim swore to uphold his position faithfully." And the article tells us, a bit later, "Flanked by soldiers in ceremonial uniforms, Milei faced a visibly emotional Wertheim and asked him whether he swore on the Torah to carry out this patriotic mission. Wertheim placed his hand over a copy of the Torah and said, 'I promise.' The two men embraced for several seconds as the audience applauded." End quote. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we have an oath of office taken by a Jewish foreign minister from Argentina over a copy of the Torah, which, from the photograph, was, as best as I can tell, a chumash. But the most Jewishly interesting aspect of the episode came not from the Jewish foreign minister, nor from the object utilized for his oath, but rather from the non-Jewish president, who chose, in his own remarks, to deliver a bit of oratory that one might more have expected from a rabbi. Javier Milei focused on the parasha of the week, the reading of the Torah that would be declaimed in synagogues around the world that coming Shabbat. Therein, for it was the week of Parashat Lech Lecha, a man by the name of Abram is, it seems, the only one in his environs that knows that the world was created and governed by a single God. And suddenly this very same God calls him to journey from his home toward a new sacred land and thereby to change the world. This story was invoked by the president of Argentina in his words of encouragement to his foreign minister. Speaking very Jewishly, the Gentile president of Argentina said, according to the translation provided by one account, "Since today we have moved away from the conventional and traditional format and the oath was taken on the Torah, I thought it pertinent to speak about the weekly parasha. The forces of heaven are sending you signals, Gerardo. It speaks of the beginnings of Abraham's travels around the world, spreading the messages of the Creator. God tells him that he will have a lot of influence on the nations of the world and gave him an important responsibility to bring the messages of the Torah, of life and of freedom, to the entire world. Success and blessings." End quote. This is incredible, ladies and gentlemen, spiritually sublime and somewhat surreal. And in invoking Abraham, in his bracha, his blessing to the foreign minister, Javier Milei, in his sermon, I suppose, shows deep insight. For what Milei is making manifest in his explanation, the meaning of Jewish chosenness. He is explaining that Abraham was God's first foreign minister to humanity, and his descendants are called to act likewise. Jews, by their very existence, are meant to serve as, if you will, foreign ministers of faith. This, according to the great exegete Ovadia Sforno, is the meaning of God's statement at Sinai that we are elected to be an Am Mamlechet Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, a nation of kingly priests, a holy nation. For Sforno, what this means is that we have been chosen to bring the knowledge of the one God to the world that is central to our role in history. Milei understands this, and he is not the first president of a country to do so. For John Adams famously said, "I believe that the Hebrews have done more to civilize man than any other nation." And he added that this was because the Jews gave to the world, and I paraphrase, the notion of an all-wise, all-knowing creator of the universe, which, Adams said, "I consider to be the foundation of all morality and all civilization." It is with all this in mind that we may approach what usually appears in the listing of the mitzvot as the very first one. It is also our initiation into the Decalogue, the first of what is commonly called the Ten Commandments. The words of this mitzvah are, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim." I am the Lord thy God who took you out of the land of Egypt. Or rather, more accurately, God uses his actual name. I am Hashem, I am YHVH, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt. To this commandment is then appended another mitzvah, a prohibition. Lo yeh lecha elohim achirim al panai. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Much is striking about these seemingly simple sentences. First, I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt. It does not actually appear to be a command, a mitzvah. It seems more of an introduction. And yet a command is exactly what much of Jewish tradition has taken it to be. God, according to this understanding, is asking us, commanding us to embrace everything about him that he says who he is. And we must note not only what he says, but also what he does not say. The Almighty does not introduce himself first and foremost as the God who created the world, but rather a God who acts in the history of one particular people. Though Judaism does indeed believe God to be the source of all existence, and, as both John Adams and President Javier Milei understand, it is actually the Jews that gave this notion to the world. Nevertheless, as I noted in my Tikva series on the Ten Commandments, God here in this mitzvah links himself to a particular event. He is the Lord that took Israel out of the land of Egypt. And the larger meaning, as I understand it, is that into this mitzvah, it is through the salvific, miraculous story of the Jewish people that we are to discover God. The tale of biblical Israel and of biblical Israel's descendants is itself a miracle, itself a source of faith, perhaps the source of faith. That is why God's first words to Israel at Sinai are so profoundly important. If anyone eloquently and excellently pondered this point, it was the medieval Sephardic poet and theologian, Rabbi Judah Halevi, whose Kuzari, as I further noted in my Ten Commandments lectures, opens with a Gentile king who surveys the world's religions and eventually speaks to a rabbi and asks him about what he believes. And the rabbi said in the book, I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, who led the children of Israel out of Egypt with signs and miracles. The king is unimpressed, for the rabbi mentions nothing about God's creation of the world. And so he coldly replies, I had not intended to ask any Jew, because I am aware of the reduced condition and narrow-minded views. And he adds, shouldst thou, O Jew, not have said that thou believest in the creator of the world? To this, the rabbi readily replies that Judaism does indeed proclaim a universal truth, a God who created the world, who made man in his image, who communicates a moral code to all humanity. But God himself chooses to introduce himself in the first mitzvah and the first commandment as the God of Israel, because the universal God is to be known through the particular, and that particular is a people that embody a miracle that is its history. Thus the rabbi replies, in the same way God commenced his speech to the assembled people of Israel, I am the Lord your God who has led you out of the land of Egypt, but he did not say, I am the creator of the world and your creator. Now in the same style I spoke to thee, O prince of the Khazars. For Judah Halevi, it is Israel's memory of the Exodus that is the argument for the existence of God. But in my own extrapolation of Halevi, in my own interpretation, the meaning of this first mitzvah, I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt, and the attendant second mitzvah, you shall not have any other gods before me. The larger meaning is this. God is saying to biblical Israel and ultimately through Israel to the world, you will find me in the story of this people, in the Jewish story, a story more miraculous than any other. We find God, as I've argued continuously, in his mysterious connection with one small people, through a people whose faith was verified generation after generation by its mysterious Exodus-like endurance. For Jews, then, the first mitzvah is not merely a mitzvah about belief, but about ourselves. It is asking us to see the wonder of Jewish history and to find the source of faith that lies within. And in our present moment, in the face of the many difficulties that the Jewish people have faced in the many months that have passed, we can still discover unexpected ways in which the miracle of the Jewish people never ceases to surprise. And thus we have here, in this story I've told today, another twist in history that vindicates the faith of our forefathers, establishing the truth thereby of I am the Lord thy God. In God electing a monotheist named Abraham to journey across the world, he promises him that his foreign ministry of faith will change humanity. Through you, God says, all the families of the earth will be blessed. According to commentators, this does not only mean that the blessing of faith will be made known to the world through the Jews. Rather, it is also saying that Abraham is an embodiment of belief, will ultimately be so admired that he will be invoked in blessings bestowed around the world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we can ponder a recent fascinating fulfillment of this prophetic prediction, a fulfillment through a non-Jew who finds in our story a source of faith. For consider, in Argentina, a president, who is not Jewish, invoked a once anonymous Mesopotamian man named Avram. He was invoked in our time by a president in a region of the world that in Avram's age, multitudes did not even know existed, and Avram was invoked by this Argentinian president, thousands of years after Avram's journey began. And if Javier Milei can find in our story a sustaining source of faith, thereby fulfilling the first mitzvah of the 613, surely we, filled with wonder, can do the same and reassure ourselves that there must be many more miracles yet to come. This is Mayor Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.